you have a Bible, we are headed to the 24th Psalm. Psalm 24, verse 1. We are in our message series called Beyond. Today I want to give a message called Beyond Ourselves. I was inspired a bit by a sermon I heard last week. I occasionally listen to sermons online because, you know, pastors got to hear sermons once in a while too, right? And so I heard a sermon by a man named Jamie Rasmussen from Scottsdale Bible Church, and really it inspired a bit of what you're going to hear today. I wanted to talk about moving beyond ourselves. Kind of a foreign concept, at least for me, because if I'm honest, I am naturally selfish. I am. I spend a lot of time thinking about me. And if you're honest, I bet you spend a lot of time thinking about you. I spend a lot of time thinking about what makes me happy. I spend a lot of time getting the things that I like. I feel like I've earned certain things. I've sacrificed, so what's mine is mine and leave it alone, right? It's kind of the great delusion, isn't it? It's all mine. I've worked hard, I've earned it, I've sacrificed, leave me alone. But what does God have to say about that? Psalm 24, the psalmist writes, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Now, if you don't believe that, then everything else that I'm going to say today won't make sense. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. When I was in high school, my dad, who works in the auto industry, was transferred from Buffalo, New York to Detroit, Michigan, Christmas break of my senior year. And so it was decided that I was going to live with my grandmother. My grandmother lived in a suburb called Kenmore. My high school was located in a suburb called Lockport. It was about a 30-minute drive between Kenmore and Lockport, so obviously I wasn't going to be able to ride the school bus. So I had a car that I drove. I had an old Chevy Eurosport station wagon. Anybody ever drive an old station wagon? Not real awesome when you're a teenager. And I drove this Eurosport station wagon, and my friends always made fun of me until they wanted a ride, but I had this car. It was a bit unreliable, but it was the car that I drove. Well, prior to getting transferred, a few months before, my mom and dad purchased a brand new Pontiac Grand Am. It was a pretty nice car, at least back then. Now, my mom was nervous about me driving the Eurosport station wagon 30 minutes each way every day to school. So instead of making me drive the station wagon, she gave me the brand new car to finish out the school year. That was amazing because none of my other friends had a brand new car. I thought I was really cool. So I had this brand new car. The best part about that whole situation was I was actually dating this girl, and she worked at this pet store, and the manager of that pet store was constantly trying to woo her away. And I was going to pick her up that day, and he said, in an attempt to make fun of me, "Oh, is your boyfriend going to come pick you up in his mom-mobile?" And then I pull up in my brand new Grand Am. And she said, "No, there he is in his brand new car. My car." I drove it. I put gas in it. I cared for it. People would say, "That's Mike in his car." But if you were to pull the title out of the glove box, the title didn't say Michael Belanti. The title said John Joseph Belanti. Because truth is, my dad owned the car, not me. While we live on this earth, God gives us things, and he asks us to manage those things. But his name is still on the title. He simply asks us to be good managers. Now, the word the Bible uses is the word stewardship. The word stewardship comes from two words that mean house manager. The word stewardship means to have total control over something that you ultimately don't own. So maybe you're the manager of a store. You have control over the day-to-day operations of something that you don't own. Maybe you're the CEO of a company. You have total control over the day-to-day operations of something you don't necessarily own. I have been called by the elders of this church to pastor and lead this church, but I don't own this church. This isn't my church. We're simply stewards of what God has given us. And part of the stewarding process is to use what we've been given for the good of others. To move beyond ourselves, to love and to serve and to move God's kingdom forward. Andrew Murray, the author, once asked, "The world asks, what does a man own? Christ asks, how does he use it?" We're given three resources from God to manage. The first resource we're given is the resource of time. Psalm chapter 31 says, "My times are in your hands." In other words, my life is in your hands. We are all given the same 24 hours. And some of us steward our 24 hours well, and some of us steward it poorly. Some of us say things like, "I just never have enough time. Where does the time go?" We have to ask ourselves, how are we stewarding our time? And within the confines of those 24 hours, I think God asks some things of us. He asks us to make a priority of worship, or we spend our time with him much like we're doing right now. He asks us within those 24 hours to take care and steward the time that he's given us with our family. I believe the greatest gift that we can give to our family is our time. That means moving beyond selfishness to generosity, particularly if you have children at home. They need you to steward your time well. I've talked to too many young adults that have all kinds of issues, most of which revolve around the fact that mom or dad simply weren't around enough. I realize that I have a God-given responsibility to my daughter and my son, and so I spend time with them doing things they like to do. I believe that's spiritual, even though there are some things they enjoy that I don't. My daughter, she loves to go to the mall to a little store called Claire's. I'd rather you take me outside and beat me with a stick than make me go to that store. But she likes going there. My son likes to tie a towel around his neck and pretend he's a superhero. He wants me to tie a towel around my neck and be a superhero with him. And I wish I could tell you I didn't like that, but sometimes it's nice to be someone else for a while. I don't do all those things because I necessarily enjoy them all. I do them because I'm called to steward my time well. I'm also called to steward my time when it comes to my health. So I get my checkup annually, which I hate. I eat my vegetables. I exercise. I'm called to steward my time at my job. To be honest, I could slough off in my job because no one's looking over my shoulder, honestly. But I don't. I work hard. Why? Because God has called us to steward our time well. Everything is the Lord's, including my time. The second resource God gives us is talent. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this: "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received from the Lord to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." And we're given two kinds of talent. We're given natural talent, and we're given spiritual gifts. Many of you here are naturally talented in a variety of things. And God uses and redirects our natural talents for the cause of Christ in the most radical and profound of ways. My father-in-law, Rebecca's dad, is naturally talented. He can fix just about anything. He can build just about anything. He also has a God-given passion for the country of Mexico. And so he uses his natural talent and he organizes trips to Mexico to build churches and orphanages because he wants to be a good steward of the talent that God has given him. We're also given spiritual gifts by God. The book of Romans chapter 12 and the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 both attest to the fact that we are given spiritual gifts by God that we're given to by God's Spirit when he lives within us. Now, my wife has the spiritual gifts of discernment and encouragement. And so she is stewarding those gifts by working on her master's degree in counseling so she can move beyond herself to help others in those particular areas. Every gift that we're given is to be used as a manifestation of God's grace here on earth. And when I use my talent or my gifts for Christ and I point people to him, I become an extension of his love and of his grace. And every time I use my gifts and talents for him, all glory goes to God. The third resource that God has given me to steward is my treasure, my finances, my money. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 say this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give whatever you've decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having everything that you need, you will abound in every good work. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with what God has blessed us with? God does have a plan for the way that we spend our finances. I believe that plan can be categorized into three major units. The first one is provision. God gives us what we have to take care of ourselves and our family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I talk with people all the time. And they say things like this, well, one of my family members is having a hard time and I'm just kind of helping them out with the extra that I have, and almost apologetically. And I say, why are you apologizing? That's what the Bible calls us to do. God gives us what we have to take care of our family and take care of them well. The second plan God has for finances is enjoyment. I know you're shocked, right? Enjoyment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 say this. This is what I have observed to be good. That it is appropriate for a person to eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life that God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot, be happy in their toil. This is a gift of God. Now hear this in light of where you are. God has certainly given us what we have for enjoyment. Now there are some, we allow our spending to get way out of control, and that's never a good thing. I'm not saying that to shame you or to guilt you, but there is a boundary. Even the book of Ecclesiastes says we should be able to be happy and accept our lot in life. Where we found ourselves, where we land, but wherever that is, we should be able to enjoy what it is that we have. My family and I right now have severe cabin fever, including the dog. Now, I love winter when it's winter. It's not winter anymore. It's spring. I want to be outside. So we've been asking as a family, should the weather ever get nice, what can we do as a family? Well, my children love to ride bikes. Now, it's been a while for me. I haven't owned a bike since I was about 18. But I thought, I want to enjoy the summer. I'm going to go buy a bike, and I'm going to ride my bike with my kids. So I went down to the local bike shop, and I looked at all the bikes that fit me. Then I looked at the price tag, and I said, that's not happening. So what I did was I Googled, used bikes in Milwaukee, and I came across this place called the Milwaukee Bike Collective. Sounded interesting, so I called them. They have a bunch of used bikes that they fix up, and they donate the money to whatever, and so I said, let's go check out the Milwaukee Bike Collective. So I went down there yesterday, and it was in a very interesting part of Milwaukee, and I walked in there, and sure enough, there was a refurbished bike that fit me, and guess what? I bought it. And I like it. It isn't new, but it's mine. And I bought it simply to enjoy it. It's the only reason. Wanted to enjoy it. Finally, God asks us to take our resources and give some of them away. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, we read these words. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And when we talk in terms of the church, because really that's what this message series is all about. The church, our church, where we're going, what we should be doing. To keep any organization moving, we all know it takes resources. We're all smart. So when the Girl Scouts need money, what do? They sell cookies. And I've eaten a lot of Girl Scout cookies. I have given my full support to the Girl Scouts. When Boy Scouts need money, what do? Sell popcorn. Some nonprofits have auctions or car washes, and all of those are good. We all know it takes finances to run any church and expand the work that God has planned. You know what God's plan to resources church is? It's not popcorn or cookies. It's us. It's all of us. It's me and it's you. At Northbrook Church, it's the same. We have two areas in which God uses all of us to resource this church. The first, we label a tithe or a general giving. In most evangelical churches, we talk about a tithe or 10%. Now, tithing is an Old Testament principle taken from the book of Micah, chapter 3, verse 10, in which we read these words. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough for you to store it. Now, since tithing is an Old Testament principle, should we still apply it? Should we still do it? And is tithing really all that generous? Maybe. But hear what Jesus said. When Jesus came, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. In other words, Jesus said, I've come so that you can live a better way with a better standard. So Jesus said stuff like this in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard it said, don't murder. But I say to you, don't even be angry with your brother. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say, do not even look at a woman with lust in your heart. So I find it pretty unlikely that Jesus would say, you've heard it said it used to be 10%, but now I say it's only 2%. And then I think we make this mistake. We teach that 10% is God's and 90% is mine. But truth is, the Lord says the earth is mine and everything in it. Everything belongs to God, and I am called to be his steward. I'm called to be his manager. His plan is his people. He owns everything, and he calls us to be good stewards. The second way that God provides for his church is what's called over and above giving. That's how we provide for our missions faith promise. We are a church that supports the global work of God's global church, and so we give above and beyond our tithes to support the work of missions. We also have a third category in our church called campus development. And it's no secret. I mean, you all know we are right now in the midst of a capital project to raise funds to expand our building. If you're here today and it's your very first time, welcome. But that's where we are today, right now. We are in the process of raising funds to expand our church because we are simply out of room, particularly at our prime hours. So is there a plan in the Bible for that? I would say yes. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, King David is building a temple for the Lord, building a church. And King David says, as he's gathered an assembly around him in verse 1 of chapter 29, My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen to build the temple, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord. With all of my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood. Verse 3. Besides my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasure of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this temple. And then he says in verse 5, now who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Then the families, the leaders of the families and the officers and the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work of the temple of God. Verse 9, and the people rejoiced at the willingness and the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. God owns everything. And his plan to create the project he laid before us is his people. Now, our Beyond project is moving full speed ahead. Next weekend is what we're calling Commitment Sunday. Next weekend is the weekend where we'll come together as a church and we'll make our financial commitments to see this project through. Next weekend in your service hall, there's going to be a small commitment card. And we're asking the families of Northbrook Church to pray about their part in this project. Over the last few weeks, we've held several opportunities for those in our congregation who would like to make an advance commitment toward the campaign. We're grateful that a number of our families have chosen to participate. We had a time together last week in which some of our families came together and made an advanced commitment and said, we want to make our commitment even beyond the Beyond Commitment Sunday. And so that group of people, a small group of people from our church, leaders and members got together. And that small group of people last week have already pledged just under $1.6 million towards this project. Now remember, our goal is between $4 and $5 million. That means we're about a third of the way there before we've even had our Commitment Sunday. Now what we're presented is a big undertaking, even for a church our size. And this is a good start. People have given generously. People have gotten the ball rolling because they wanted to be an encouragement to us as a congregation as we move to Commitment Sunday next weekend. We're off to a good start, but this campaign, this project, is not going to be based on the efforts of a few, because if that's true, then it will never happen. It's going to take all of us doing our part, asking God, God, what do you want to do through me? What would be my response to the grace you have shown me? How can I be your partner in the Beyond Project? Now, those that have already responded have set the standard pretty high. If everyone in our church is willing to respond in the same way as our advanced donor families have, the Beyond Project will be fully funded. So I'm simply asking you over the next week, to ask God, God, what would be my part? It's not a matter of taking from our tithe and kind of moving it, because if we do that, then all the lights go off in this building. God, what would you have me do? I'm very excited about what God's laid before us. 3 weeks ago, we showed you some images, some animations of what the outside of the building might look like. 2 weeks ago, we showed what the kind of lobby cafe area might look like. Last week, we showed you the worship center. Now, I believe there was a little bit of confusion about the two sanctuary approach that I've talked about. I blame myself and no one else. Maybe I didn't explain it well or correctly. This idea is a bit new to us. But what we're proposing, I want to bring clarity, is that we're proposing to build an 8 to 850 seat new worship sanctuary or new worship auditorium. That auditorium will serve as the main worship space for our church. We're also proposing using this space as a venue or as a second worship space that will also have a worship service going on in it. Now, the reason we're doing that is twofold. The first is financial. It is very expensive to build. Some have said, well, why don't you just go and build a 1,000 or 2,000 seat sanctuary over there and just have one? Because that would cost us millions and millions of dollars more. That is simply not within our reach. The second reason is to create more options. We're not creating two churches. We're creating one church with more options. We already have options on a weekend. We have four. We meet in four different times over two different days. This is simply another option to create more space at our optimal times. Now, what will this look like? Here's the first thing I want to say. Each week, there will be probably one venue option. We'll offer. We're hoping to go back down to 3 worship services. During one of those times, one of those hours, we'll have 2. We won't have 2 at every single hour. The second thing I want you to know is the message will be the same, delivered by me at both places. Now you say, how are you going to do that? We're working on that. Roller skates. Now, I haven't considered that. This venue will have a little bit of a different feel. That is a plan in progress. I said something that I totally regret saying last week. Last week, I said maybe it will have a traditional or a blended feel. Now, when you use that verbiage, in a church of 1,600 people, there are 1,600 versions of what that means. So what's it going to feel like? We're working on that. The third question I get is, will this work? And this is my response. To date in our country, right now on Sunday morning, there are currently 5,000 churches that take this approach, one of which is in Madison. That's where we've based our model off of. It's simply creating more space for more people at our optimal times. This week, we want to show you one last animation. We want to show you an animation of what the youth and kids space might look like. So I want to call your attention to the screens. I'm not going to narrate it today, but I just want you to kind of look at and get a feel of what our kids space might look like. Everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. It's all God's. I'm his steward. As we wrap up our time together, I want to encourage you to reach into your service folder. Grab your connection card that's in there. If this is your very first time with us, a very warm and special welcome to you. On the front side of that card, there's a place for all your information, name, address, email. We would love to know that you were here. If you'll fill out this card with as much information as you feel comfortable giving us. On the back side of this card, it says, my next step. The first next step says this: today, for the very first time, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. You may be here today. Maybe you've been coming to Northbrook for a few weeks. Maybe this is your first time. But as you've been here, maybe you've recognized that there's something missing in your life. Maybe the thing that's missing is Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him, and you say, Mike, you know what I need? I need something new and fresh. I need something different. What's missing in my life is Christ, and I need him. If you would check that box, one of our pastors would love to connect with you this week and talk to you about that decision. Secondly, the next step says this: This week I will evaluate the way I'm stewarding my time, my talent, and my treasure. Everything is God's. Maybe we need to look at our time differently, the way we spend it. Maybe we need to look at our talents, what God has given us, a bit differently. Maybe we need to look at the way we spend our money, our treasure, a bit differently. And I'm asking you also this, if you would pray this week, as we move next week into Commitment Sunday, if you would say, God, how would you help me move this project forward? Next weekend, there'll be a commitment card similar to this size on our bulletin, and we'll have a time of commitment together next weekend. But I don't want this to be a decision where I just come up with a number. I'm asking you, would you take a moment and pray, God, what would you have me do? So take a moment now as a simple response to this psalm and fill out your connection card. Go ahead. Father, I pray that you would help us all become better stewards of our time, our talent, our treasure. For the earth is yours and everything in it. God, thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for our time. Thank you for those gifts and abilities you've given us. Thank you, O God, that we do live in a country of relative prosperity. And so we ask you to help us to manage all that you've given us well. And now, O God, we give to you our tithes and offerings as an act of worship to further your work, both locally and around our world.